listing in our code already, Evansville Metropolitan Planning Organization's policy board. First up on the agenda, has everyone been sworn in?
They need to be sworn in.
You cannot participate. The clerk informs me that that's a no-no now, but we've never done that before.
I have not either.
I don't know that I've ever informed.
I haven't either. Okay. Okay, I've never heard of that one.
Donna, you represent the county?
Swear at you.
You swear at me?
I've been sworn at a lot.
There's some paper down there.
Both.
I'm just following directions.
Put a few of the ministers in my slide. Anything else?
I think that's true.
Since he's already sworn in, he's got to get appointed. He's not, so he can carry over again.
First item on the agenda is the election of a policy board chairperson and a vice chairperson. Is there any other nominations? Hearing that, I guess we'll close the nominations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The first time I voted for myself. We need a vice chairperson.
Make a motion to continue with Laurie.
Any other nominations? Move the nominations be closed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
I think this is my 30th year.
Wow.
This might be my last one. I'll serve for more years on this one. Okay, approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Old business, Laura, project update.
So we have a long one today. Starting off with the City of Evansville, the Washington Avenue-Weinbach Avenue intersection project. The Board of Public Works approved a construction inspection contract with American Structure Point, Inc. on December the 11th. The project was posted for bids. This is for the construction on February 4th, with no bids below the engineer's estimate being received. NDOT will review the bid to determine if the low bid is eligible for award. Page 2, for the State Road 66 pedestrian overpass near Van. This project was posted for bids on December 10th, and the contract for construction was awarded to Blankenberger Construction, Inc. of Cynthiana, Indiana for a low bid of $2,238,182.50. The pre-construction meeting is scheduled for February 9th. For the Evansville-Vandenberg County Sign Inventory Replacement Project, the sign installation portion of the project has been split into two phases, and the letting date has been pushed back to allow additional federal funds to be programmed. Phase 1 is currently scheduled for letting on July 8th of this year. For the T-Couple Safe Routes to School project, the project was posted for bids. This is for construction of the project on February 4th, with no bids below the engineer's estimate being received. NDOT will review the bids to determine if the low bid is eligible for award. On page 3, for Vandenberg County, we have the Green River Road widening project from Millersburg Road to Kansas Road. Construction continues with 73% of the project now complete. The contractor will continue removing the old pavement and work on the storm sewer installation. For the Heckle Road widening project, Green River Road to Oak Hill Road, the preliminary plans are close to being complete, and a public information meeting will be scheduled in the next 6 weeks to review and discuss the proposal. For Green River Road from Kansas to Boonville and Harmony Road, the Stage 2 design package was submitted to NDOT on January 25th for review and approval. On to page four, for the town of Newburgh, their Safe Routes to School project is now complete. For Newburgh's Rivertown Trail, they're still waiting on property appraisals, but a required update to the environmental document has been complete and submitted for review. Moving on to page five, for NDOT State Road 61 connector in Boonville. This phase was posted for bids for construction on December 10th, and the contract for construction was awarded to Blankenberger Brothers, Inc. of Cynthiana, Indiana for a low bid of $2,266,474.70. Moving on to page six, which is a carryover of City of Henderson's Sand Lane Safe Routes to School project. The big bid package proposal and the LPA project development checklist has been submitted to KYTC for review and approval. For KYTC's Kentucky 351 Zion Road project, preliminary work will begin February 2nd. See, the contract completion date is currently set for August of this year. The roadway will be closed for approximately 4 to 5 months during construction, so a detour will be posted. On the U.S. Highway 41 and Kentucky 812 Airline Road project, a state consultant has been requested. And I think for the last two projects, Nick was trying to tell me today, that would be the U.S. Highway 41, Wolf Hills Road, and the U.S. Highway 60, Spotsville Bridge projects. They both had a preliminary line and grade meeting held February 2nd. Those are all the updates that I have.
I do. I guess this is for NDOT, Rusty, or whoever would know the answer on a couple of the things that were read. Some of the proposals wasn't under the estimate, the engineer's estimate. When NDOT looks at that to see if maybe they can be awarded anyway, is there a criteria they go by, or?
Yeah, it's not only based off of cost, but it's also based off of a firm's ability as far as their ability within the number of dollars that they're capable of doing at any one given time. There's a lot of DBE, MBA, MBE goals, that type of thing, insurance. There's a lot of things that actually gets considered. It's just not low bid. Generally speaking, all the information they have to do the bid is normally handled up front, so we get the bids in, it's easy to give the notice to proceed. But every once in a while, there'll be questions on DBE goals or MBE goals or insurance or something like that. So yeah, there's a checklist that we have to go through.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Rob?
Yeah, there's an MPO request approval of an MOA between EMPO, NDOT, KYTC, MET, and Henderson Area Rapid Transit. This agreement is a requirement among agencies involved in the transportation planning process in this area, and it defines the roles and responsibilities of each agency. We request approval of this MOA.
Any questions?
Yes.
Now is it on?
Yeah.
Page 13, item 3. I don't think we're planning on anything that would involve improving MET service. Is that a title?
Oh, yeah, it should be MPO, sir.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can change that.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
I wasn't trying to be sarcastic.
No.
I thought I was misreading.
No.
Any other questions? Now to entertain a motion for approval with that correction.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
Craig, looks like you're next.
What?
We have one TIP amendment this month requested by NDOT. That's DUS number 0501206, I-64 HMA overlay preventive maintenance 3.05 miles east of State Road 65 to a half mile east of US 41. Add the project for preliminary engineering in fiscal 16 for construction inspection. That PE cost will be split to that $80,090.10 between interstate maintenance, federal funds, and NDOT match.
Questions? Entertain a motion for approval.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And for your information, we did process two administrative modifications in December. Both were for Kentucky projects. The first, the Henderson Riverfront Development Project, a high priority project for the development, again, of the Henderson Riverfront. Revised the construction description, estimate, and schedule. This will be for non-highway land acquisition, master planning, and site improvements here in this fiscal year, totaling $2.1 million and some change there. That is an 80-20 project, federal high priority project funds, and a 20% Henderson in-kind match. And the second is US 60 KYTC project, widen and improve US 60 from west of Henderson Community College to KY 425, revising the PE schedule to reflect 100,000 in fiscal 14 and 400,000 in fiscal 15. That's the same PE budget, just split over fiscal years differently, and this is a federal STP project and a Kentucky toll credit match. Any questions?
Any questions? Seeing none. Thanks, Greg. Update bicycle and pedestrian connectivity master plan. Jack?
Good afternoon. My name is Jack Seavey. I'm with Alta Planning and Design, and we are a nationwide consulting firm. We specialize in bike and pedestrian planning, design, and engineering. We've been working with the city and the NPO and a whole slew of stakeholders over the past year on developing a bike and pedestrian connectivity master plan for the city of Evansville. And with this plan, let me get the PowerPoint to go. There we go. This plan is really a long-term vision based on the feedback we heard from citizens, from various stakeholder groups for the city of Evansville, and looking at how we want the city to become in terms of accommodating bicyclists and pedestrians for transportation specifically in this plan. And based on the feedback, we drafted a vision statement to kind of frame this vision. We're hoping that in the long term, Evansville roadway system will comfortably, safely, and efficiently facilitate bike and pedestrian transportation for users of all ages and abilities. Whether that be, you know, a child walking or biking to school, whether it be somebody trying to commute to work, whether it be a senior trying to walk or take the bus to fulfill their daily needs, providing options for people of all ages and abilities. We believe that the city can become a tri-state destination for walking and biking. We've seen it in other places, as I'll show here in a little bit. Building these facilities, making these investments, draw people into the community, not only visitors wanting to use them, but also attract businesses and attract young, talented youth or employees. And then ultimately, all these improvements will lead to a goal that everybody has, building healthier livelihoods for people, making smarter community investments, and really improving the future for the city. And to kind of, breaking down that vision statement, we came up with several objectives that we're really trying to hone in on in this plan. One's connectivity, and that's looking at the pieces of the bicycle and pedestrian network we have already, and there's a lot, and really trying to bridge these pieces together, fill in the gaps, fix the pinch points, and harp on the great things we have already. Sustainability and evaluation, looking at how the city, when they make these investments, can get recognized for them. And there are programs such as the Bike Friendly Community Program, the Walk Friendly Communities Program, that are national programs that cities apply for, and businesses and people looking to move to cities recognize, that can be used to showcase the achievements that Evansville is making. Implementation, as I said, it's a big overall vision, but we want to break it down into digestible implementation action steps the city can use moving forward. And so a big part of this plan is an action plan which prioritizes projects and provides a roadmap moving forward on implementing those. And then the overall goals of the project are really, it's all about safety, providing people with more transportation options, viable transportation options, and that really plays into the overall human and social health of the community. And to kind of give a case study of how this can improve, these sorts of improvements can affect the community. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, and have been, grew up there, have been working there for the past several years. And in the 70s, Greenville was kind of facing a crossroads, and this is what Greenville's downtown looked like in the 70s, pretty auto-oriented, a lot of empty storefronts, and the city's leadership made a decision to bring people back into downtown and to try to attract them. And to do that, they focused on walk-friendly improvements and bicycle-friendly improvements. And now, this is what Greenville's Main Street looks like today, and it's a destination really regionally in this iconic Main Street throughout the U.S., and a lot of people think it's always been like that, but it was really tough choices and visionary choices made several years ago that turned the Main Street into what it is today. Similarly, with the Falls Park in downtown, it used to be a bridge, and when they were looking at tearing it down and making it into a more attractive atmosphere for pedestrians, for bicyclists, they had a lot of pushback because they thought tearing down the bridge would bring awful congestion downtown. And it was just the opposite. It turned the Falls Park into a great amenity for the city, has gotten it national acclaim, and has been a huge economic generator for the community. This is the Swamp Rabbit Trail, which runs through Falls Park. You can see there, the numbers don't lie, it's caused a lot of people, visitors investing money, caused a lot of businesses opening up, and that's just the numbers. You know, the health benefits are unaccounted for, but also great as well. And so to give you kind of an overview of the process we've been through, we started out looking at existing conditions, looking at several factors such as demographics in the city, trying to make this plan as equitable as possible, reaching all sorts of communities, looking at safety data, looking at where crashes are occurring, and trying to fix maybe those trouble areas, looking at traffic patterns, looking at existing infrastructure, looking at connectivity between neighborhoods, and then looking at concentrations of where people live and where they're trying to get, whether it be retail, whether it be jobs, whether it be school. We had an extensive public outreach process. There was a project steering committee that had had business interests, had public interests, it had advocates on the group that reviewed all of our documents, provided feedback throughout the process. We had an extensive online public and in-person public outreach process that included a website, included online mapping, where people could go in and input where they would like to see improvements. And as you can see, the graphs show some of the results of that, the summary of the results. Of those over 1,000 responses we got, there was broad support for walking and biking improvements in Evansville. And then there are several other types of meetings, public input meetings. We had one early on in the process to get input from people. We're having one Saturday at the mall, presenting our draft recommendations to get feedback on, you know, how people think they'll work. We went to public events. We had, which was, this is a great part of the plan. This was very unique to this plan. Had several focus group meetings throughout the city. Met with leaders in the business community. Met with the chamber. Met with the parks board. Met with leaders in the health community to get their input on the plan. And really heard just broad support across the board. And so as we were digesting all this input, we started looking at bike facilities that we're considering for Evansville, and looking at, again, that all ages and abilities consideration. So, and with that, there's kind of a range of facility types that we want to, that we'll use in different contexts. Low volume neighborhood streets, we're looking at more of a shared lane, shared roadway environment. You see there on the far left, you know, that can be accomplished through pavement markings, through signage, through some maybe minor changes in stop signs and other sort of traffic signage along minor streets. And as the roadways you're putting bike facilities on, as the traffic increases, as the volume, as the speeds increase, you want more separation from the traffic to maintain that comfort level for bicyclists. As you can see with the bike lane, with the buffered bike lane on higher volume streets, increasing that distance, that separation from the cars. And these are a few other facility types we looked at on even higher volume, higher speed streets called cycle tracks, where there's typically some vertical separation, whether it be parked cars or bollards or curb. And these benefit pedestrians as well, buffering them from the roadway, making it a more comfortable environment for them, slowing down traffic in some cases. And so it's a benefit for all users. Similarly, with the pedestrian environment, we looked at really kind of specific improvements that could be made. There's already a great base of pedestrian facilities in Evansville, a great sidewalk network. So really looking at pinch points in the network, such as intersections, you know, where maybe those signals, those crosswalks could be upgraded up to standard. We looked at a few locations where mid-block crossings may be warranted. You know, it's pretty discouraging if you have to walk a quarter mile just to get to the other side of the road safely. So there are a few locations where we looked at trying to bridge that gap. Other considerations were obstructions in the sidewalk, such as utility poles, looking at areas where that occurs and making recommendations on how to improve those, especially because those are a huge impediment to people with mobility issues. And then traffic calming improvements in areas around schools, where high in downtown, where a high volume of pedestrians are expected. And that includes a few like minor geometry sort of improvements, like the bulb outs you see in the large picture up top. And again, the goal is accessible for all ages and abilities. A term that kind of has been coined to represent that is 8 to 80 cities. So that's kind of what we're going for here. And then also looking at non-infrastructure recommendations and building, trying to build the culture in Evansville that biking and walking are normal activities, a normal way to get around. And that can be through education programs, such as some of the great Safe Routes to School programs already going on, through evaluation planning, like the Bike Friendly Community, the Walk Friendly Community program I was telling you about earlier, encouragement programs, such as Bike to Work Week, or even Bike to Work Month, and enforcement programs. You know, if there are key areas that where violations are occurring, maybe targeting these areas and giving warnings or tickets. And like I said, building upon the great efforts that are going on here already with the local partners, and this is really where the partners play a big role in this, such as the upgrade program, such as the local IMBA chapter, and the CDC money that has funded the Bike Right billboards around town. These are some great things to continue building upon. So when planning the routes, we considered a lot of things. There's, you know, consideration for safety. We looked a lot at the crash data to help locate where some of these real big problem areas are, where demand was, where we heard from the public they would like to see facilities, connections to transit, trying to extend the transit network and make safe connections to transit. And then also making sure these improvements line up with previous proposals. There's been a lot of different proposals and planning efforts, and so that was a big intent to make sure this was cohesive with those. And as you can see here, here are a few just example areas that we saw the need for facilities around town, such as no sidewalks at the bus stop, I think that's Virginia Street, the lady crossing in the middle of Green River Road, and then some of the obstructions from the sidewalk on Weinbach. And so these are the maps that we came up with, our draft maps, and we're open for comment. If you guys want to look at these, provide us some comments over the next few weeks, we'd love to see them. And really kind of concentrating on the downtown area and emanating from there, as that's where a lot of the demand for biking and walking is, with the amenities downtown, the proximity to the universities, the new health campus going in. And similarly with the walking network, looking at improvements all over town, but you know a lot more concentration on the downtown area. And then finally, getting to that implementation phase, we had to look at providing a roadmap to start implementing this vision. And this is a long-term vision. This is not going to happen overnight. So we looked at several factors to prioritize these improvements, trying to identify which ones were the biggest opportunities for improvement with the lowest possible cost, your real low-hanging fruit projects, looking at considerations such as supply and demand, equity, public input, whether it connects with existing facilities or connects existing facilities, and the safety benefit of these facilities. And we're currently developing this prioritization right now. But we've initially developed a list of top 10 recommendations that are kind of the out of the starting gate recommendations that we feel that really rose to the top of the list based on all the data we analyzed, everyone we talked to, that can be really big, impactful, easy wins for the community. Several of these, such as the Main Street improvements, the Weinbach improvements, are in development currently. And this map just kind of shows the distribution of those around town, trying to keep those as interconnected as possible, keeping a mix of bike and pedestrian projects in there to reach out to affect those different user groups and maintain a semblance of a core network within these projects themselves. And so to help kind of visualize these improvements, we came up with a few photo simulations, and we'll continue to work on these. But here's Walnut Street, where we're proposing cycle tracks, implementing resizing the roadway and implementing cycle tracks on that street, where you would have that vertical separation and that buffer from the traffic. Similarly, on Martin Luther King, we felt like this was a high-priority corridor. It's downtown. It's very visible. It's in a lot of ways the gateway to downtown, and providing those sorts of amenities will really make it a centerpiece of the vibrancy that's going on town or on downtown. And also, I forgot to mention with Walnut Street, that was really an important connection. Connects with the state hospital grounds, connects with the University of Evansville. There are already a lot of users using it, bicycling on it, and trying to make that a safer environment. And here's just another option on MLK. And with that, we're, like I said, working on the draft plan, which will be out in a few weeks, and eventually in getting comments back on that when that comes out, and eventually taking it to council for adoption. And you know, we welcome your feedback as we're working through editing this draft. So with that, happy to field any questions.
Any questions?
I'm not familiar with this project. Can you tell me, excuse me, who's the originator of it? Is it the city of Evansville? Was it NDOT? Who, I mean, where?
Yeah, it's, and Syed and I want to jump in too. The NPO is okay. The sponsor on the project. The limits of the scope is really concentrated on the city of Evansville.
Okay. Was there any thought at all about giving some thought to potential connections to the Kentucky side at some point?
Yeah, we looked
at... That's included in it?
Yeah, we understand it's you know, we're not planning in a bubble, and, you know, definitely looking at, you know, possible connections to other jurisdictions.
Okay.
Other questions?
Yeah. You're having like an outreach thing tomorrow, you say
at the mall on Saturday from 12 to 4. Yep.
12 to 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Thanks, Jay.
All right, thank you.
Other business, Carrie?
In your packets, you have your first quarter report for Indiana and Kentucky. We are re-evaluating how we do these quarterly reports, so the second quarter is not in there right now. Just to give you a couple of statistics, we did 76 traffic counts, 13 tip amendments, 13 tip modifications in the July 1st to September 30th. Time period. And then also this gives you a progress of our special projects that we've been working on, such as the MET's comprehensive operational analysis, our Evansville bike and pedestrian connectivity master plan that Jack was speaking about, and our regional pavement management process. So if you have any questions about what we're working on during our office days, you can just give us a call and we can answer the questions.
Any questions? Thanks, Carrie. We now move, approval of bills. Do I hear a motion to approve bills? I think everybody has signed.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Now we're down to public comment. Rusty, I understand you want to talk about something.
I do. Thank you. Before this meeting, I had a short conversation with Fayette and Pam and Jack regarding something that was discussed at the NPO, last NPO council meeting, which is the intention of NDOT to do a planning funds compliance review in all the NPOs. So at that point in time, we really didn't know what kind of time frame we were going to be on or anything like that. We just knew it was going to be early in 15. So I'm here to say that program is going to be initiated. We have engaged a consulting group, KSM Consulting from Indianapolis, Indiana, to assist us with the development of the program. That has actually happened at this point in time at the NPO council meeting. They discussed that the development phase was going to take a month and a half or 2 months. Well, that development phase is done, and so starting in early 2015, aka February, we're gonna start the process with field reviews at the NPOs. We will be kind of working with KSM and the NPOs to determine the best time frame for scheduling. At this point in time, we're looking at Evansville being the first of the NPOs to go through the process, and that don't look at that as a negative thing. Look at that as a positive thing, because when you are the first to go, you also have input and some influence on maybe how that program develops. Thanks for the smiles, Sayed. So you guys will be the first to participate in the compliance review. After this meeting, I'll notify KSM, and they will be talking with you shortly to schedule the best times. The way I understand it is there will be a questionnaire. It's actually in the form of a spreadsheet, a questionnaire that will be sent with several questions and information to be supplied as part of that questionnaire. And tentatively, they're looking at minimizing the field review time. We don't exactly know what that will be at this point in time, but hopefully less than 4 days. We kind of talked about the potential of 2 to 3. Obviously, we want to minimize the time and the impact of the MPO staff per our conversations before. So, so I guess that's just to get that out there so everybody knows we are going to begin that process. Evansville is going to be the first MPO to go through the process. So if you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them if I can, and we'll go from there.
Any questions of rest?
I have a comment. Yeah. Starting with this MPO will set the bar extremely high for the rest of them.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Any other public comments? Sure, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I just would be remiss to say 30 years of serving on the public board. I'd like to say thank you for serving.
Thank you. I think it's almost about time, though, for new blood.
Just getting broken in.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we're adjourned.